Uncancelable means like literally uncancelable. And we're in Vegas with Jake Shields, obviously King Bao. You guys both fight. We're gonna get into that. Like literally physically fight, like in a cage, blood. Nothing more primal than that, really. Uncancelable, we just found out this morning, we truly are uncancelable. The YouTube page has been restored. I mean, this is something that we never thought was going to happen. COVID disinformation was the reason that Stu Peters was kicked off of YouTube. Now, this is a place where millions of people congregate, billions of people congregate. Nobody's ever seen a platform that's larger than this for video sharing and live streaming and all these things. I want to give a huge shout out to Chris at Rumble. Like, that's my platform. Rumble is our platform. These are our people. We love these people because when all of that was happening, Rumble and Chris and the leadership there, Dan Bongino, as mainstream and normie as he is and weird and kind of faggoty a little bit, I will say that, you know, we got...
Why?
But because, well, because, I mean, I'm always going to call it like it is. But he was a big investor in Rumble. And these are the people that gave real people the voice to say the things that we've been saying, which is why you, Jake Shields, have actually, your following came out of nowhere. Like you exploded in the last 6 months, I would say, to a year. What do you attribute that to?
I just think I speak truth. I mean, I never really used Twitter until I first started tweeting a little bit during the COVID lockdowns and the George Floyd riots, just because I just got so frustrated that I just thought the world was going crazy. And my opinions were extremely unpopular at the time. They're kind of popular now because I was strongly against the lockdowns and the riots. So then I started tweeting, but then I started growing pretty quick, but then I got badly throttled until Elon took over. So after Elon took over, I started growing again. And I think October 7th, I started speaking out. You know, I've been to Israel, have experience there. So I started
speaking. What? You've been there?
Yeah. You know, been there, unfortunately, you know, even trained IDF.
Did you kiss the wall?
Unfortunately, I was at the wall. Those pictures.
You did?
Sometimes I didn't kiss it, but they brought me to the wall.
Oh my God.
When I run in politics, those pictures.
Bro, did you wear the embarrassing, like the little hat
on? They're trying to put the hat on me, but I don't think I put the hat on.
You don't think? You don't remember?
I don't think so. But then I feel like they're trying to.
What were you doing for training over there?
They brought me out from seminars and some IDF.
Oh, for some.
You were training the IDF.
I was training mostly regular people. I did a little bit of stuff with IDF. At the time, I didn't really know much about Israel. And that's actually when I did a deep dive into it because I was trying to go visit my Palestinian friends in the West Bank, and they kept not letting me go there. My Palestinian friends kept wanting to show me around. They're like, no, it's safe, bro. Trust me. And the IDF dudes pretty much wouldn't let me go. I should have just like fled and go. But the way they're talking about these people, it really started putting things in my head. And that's kind of when I went into a deep dive into the history of Palestine. Mm-hmm. So when October 7th hit, I was fully aware of the situation over there. Mm-hmm. I wasn't aware of how much control they have in America yet. I learned that after the war, you know, but I was aware of like how badly and what they've done to the Palestinians.
So you're just doing jujitsu seminars?
Teaching seminars. You know, hey, the people, they all treated me great. But then, you know, seeing what they've done to the countries, I'm not going to like bash these people individually. Mm-hmm. Although some of those guys have wrote my name on missiles and
crazy.
And I get death threats.
I saw that. Yeah, it's crazy.
But overall, you know, a lot of, you know, Jewish people have treated me great. So I'm not like the full like, oh, I don't like Jewish people. I just really don't like what their government's doing to the Palestinians. But also here in America, they've occupied our own
Israeli Jews. You're talking about like
Israeli Jews. Well, some of the American Jews have occupied our American government too. They're connected.
So definitely like, have that conversation. I mean,
yeah, it's not anti-Semitic to talk about these billionaires that are controlling our country through AIPAC. I know you guys are on the, you know, you guys are doing some of the best reporting on this, so you're well aware. But I think a lot of the American public are not, and they need to be woken up. They falsely use these claims of anti-Semitic, Jew hater, Holocaust deniers. How they shut us up, but we're speaking the truth and. People are waking up despite the attacks, the censorship. People are waking up. The fact that they put you back on YouTube. I know you're banned for COVID disinformation, which all turned out to be true.
Right.
But you're also speaking heavily against this Jewish issue.
So when I did the appeal, which I want to thank Myron Gaines, by the way. So Myron, thank you.
Yeah, Myron's an awesome friend of mine too.
You know, he actually, when we were sitting down in Miami.
That's what he told you.
Yeah, he was like, you know that COVID disinformation really isn't a thing anymore, right? Like, you know that you can.
Crazy.
So all the strikes and the bans and all of that stuff. And so I got on the app. There was no way for me to like appeal this on the YouTube app. Mm-hmm. So I log in on the computer and I go to my, you know, enter my old email address when I was a bounty hunter because we had all of our bounty hunting films.
It's crazy you're a bounty hunter. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we will. And so I had like, I mean, this is a part of my life for like 15 years, bro. Yeah. You just deleted all of that arbitrarily over me, like literally trying to save the lives of children.
Speaking truth.
Truth. And now all of a sudden, so anyways.
What's the process? So explain the process.
I want to explain this because people, this is a huge service for people.
It.
Yes, you should.
Yes.
Sneeko is going to. I talked to him this morning. He called me. He's like, how'd you do this? I literally walked him through it. You have to log in on your computer. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, nope, you've been banned, right?
Yeah.
And so then it's like, read more about our policies. So you have to go click on this like little learn more blue button.
Okay.
You click on that. And then it takes you to another page. And it's like, well, maybe you should review our policies. Right. And there's still nothing clickable or actionable at that point.
Okay.
So you have to review their policy and then you scroll all the way to the bottom and then grayed out is this little button that's like, oh, do you disagree with why we banned you? Do you want to appeal? Do you want to appeal? Right. Yes. So then you do that. And then it gives you, it's like this open dialogue box of why are you appealing this? And my answer was because you murderous fucks perpetuated one of the greatest genocides known in human history. And I was telling the truth, trying to save the lives of children, giving away content for free, slaving my ass off, working every day to fight for my kids and millions of others. That's why, period.
Damn.
And I fully expected, of course, for some bot or some, you know, tranny freak show, purple haired Jew to go read my shit and be like, yeah, fuck you. There's no way we're allowing you back. And this morning I'm laying in bed here in Las Vegas and my phone ding. And I'm like, what? And I look and it's from YouTube and the subject line is, we have reviewed your appeal. So I'm fully expecting to open it up like, yeah, you're fucking crazy, you anti-Semitic, right-wing shock jock, bigoted, racist, dangerous, violence inciting, whatever you are. And no, it said, you're right.
Yeah.
We were wrong. You were right. Welcome back to YouTube.
That's
now, when I left YouTube, I had like 570,000 subs. I have like 80,000 now. I'm predicting by this time next week, it'll be back up to 570,000. There are so many millions and billions of people in that space that we have been unable to reach only because of Chris and Rumble and Twitter and places like Gab, Andrew Torba, huge shout out to that guy, Christian, like really unafraid, unapologetic guy. Places like this that have remained a free speech platform, I guess like an epicenter for people like us, for people like you, for people like Bao, who we're going to talk about, King Bao's rise was amazing as well. We have to thank those people that now we're able to say on those platforms, yeah, guess what? We're back.
Yeah,
we're so fucking back.
So the reason I believe that they did that, to be honest with you, is because they know the lawsuits are coming, bro. I mean, we have all these places now saying that the vaccine is dangerous or a bioweapon. You have Florida coming out saying that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like the only reason they're doing it is to avoid lawsuits because they know we would be coming.
Like wrongful death or what kind of lawsuits?
Well, what could, I mean, if they didn't reinstate you or me or whoever, then we could get them
on. You know what? I want back. I want back all of the monetization.
Yes.
That I lost.
That's a real conversation.
Yeah.
That might be a lawsuit to have because like you were bingo. Right. You were pushing
I was
truth.
Right.
You could have saved. How many lives could you have saved?
Imagine if Died Suddenly had been
YouTube.
Available on a platform like YouTube.
Yeah. I personally know a lot of young, healthy people that are having major vaccine side effects.
Shout out to Jessica Sutter.
Alex Roundtree is our comms chief. We have to do that. We should consider actually putting Died Suddenly on YouTube. Yeah. I mean, do you agree? I mean,
are you going to get away with it though?
Well, I mean,
that's the thing.
Yeah.
Right. Are you going to get away? Cause now on YouTube, the YouTube policies are terrible, bro. That's the thing. They took all of this is for some nerds out there. They took all of battle rap off of YouTube. They demonetized it completely because you can't have aggressive content on there. You might be too aggressive for YouTube now. They might be able to take you off. No, seriously. Cause you can't even, bro, on some things, you can't even cuss in certain ways. You can't have certain dialogue. So I feel like they might be letting you back on to snipe
Take you
for
off.
Real.
Yeah.
Bingo.
The fact they put you on, though, was a big surprise to me. When I saw this, I was really surprised because you're going hard right now with a lot of... It's true what you're saying, but it shows maybe they're open up to free speech.
No.
I also want to circle back to, like you said earlier, about Rumble. They're an amazing platform. I personally went and bought a bunch of stock just to support them, but my stock's actually way up, too. So I was trying to just like support the company, and then they're doing well. So I think it's...
Yeah.
People that have extra money, things like that are good things you could do. You know, I'm not saying it's an investment, although it has been a good investment for me. But sometimes these things just support companies.
In Rumble?
Like that. Yeah.
No.
Well, so Rumble's becoming the new Twitch because Twitch is same with YouTube. You can't cuss. You can't smoke. You can't, like, you know, I think in some instances, you can't even drink. You know, like you can't, like Rumble, Wild Wild West. You can curse. You can talk about whatever you want. That's why all these streamers, these big streamers, are getting off of Twitch and moving to Rumble.
Yeah. I hear Twitch is really bad. It's going to take you off for like anything.
Anything.
I want to talk about you guys, both of you, because I honor what you do. Both of you, high value men that I really, I feel blessed to be in a room with both of you and for us to share platform like we do, honestly.
You obviously
like, this is really important conversation. I recently also was kicked off of Instagram. Every time I try to have...
Three times. He's had three accounts.
Very big, large, growing
and,
fast.
In a month and a half.
Yeah.
A month and a half.
And they grow so fast. I mean, like a month, 10 grand, you know, 10,000. It keeps going and going. And then boom. It's like, yep, nope. The gay lobby came after you. The Israel lobby came after you. By the way, Israel and gay lobby are the one and the same. They're all satanic.
He called out this gentleman who is a...
NYC gay dads is what his handle is.
Yes.
NYC gay dads.
Probably.
Yeah, no, the guy has kids that are in his custody who he parades around and brings to, you know, these pride parades and festivals. He bought them, what was it? Cock rings. Cock rings. And then put them on...
Kids?
As bracelets on his kids.
You should take these kids away. That's disgusting.
And he was like trying to have sex with Travis Kelce or something. He threatened to sue me. They took the whole thing down over that.
The gay
lobby is very powerful.
Yeah, the gay man with kids is something that really bothered me. You see all these videos of these little babies.
Definitely.
Around, you know? Like a baby needs a mother. You know? Like, father's important too, but when they're that young, you can't nurture babies and know their needs. And just, it's so terrible to take them, just rip it away so these guys can have a little pet. And they always get boys too, if you notice.
Yeah. But why are,
that
why?
Makes me really suspect what their motives are.
Exactly. Why do they these pedophiles always want to fuck a little boy?
The gay guys.
like, I mean, seriously, honestly.
It's serious though. It's disgusting.
Well,
and that's,
first of
that's
all,
really what
I
a lot
mean,
of it is.
Homosexuality to begin with is disgusting. I mean, how can you imagine? Okay, even heterosexual anal sex to me, I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Because how can I be millimeters away from the greatest place on earth? And then I just want to go stick it where she poops?
Yeah, it's a little weird.
So like,
hey, don't kink shame. Don't kink shame. There might be some people out there that are listening to this being like, what? You ain't sticking in the butt?
I'm just saying I don't understand it. Okay, so from my perspective, I don't get it. The vagina is meant for the penis. That's how God formed it.
Hey, there you go.
Now, then you have homosexual butt sex. You're a man that wants to get off on slapping your nuts against another man's nuts.
Well, just look at like the disease rate, like the AIDS.
Oh my God.
Straight people don't really get it. Though. Just all the monkeypox.
I gotta look at the camera and say this. I have to say that if I were the king for a day, I would make homosexual acts illegal.
It should at least be kept like underground. I mean, I think it was,
that's how Russia is.
I think Andrew Tate
Tate
had something good that I heard him say. He said it's mostly illegal in the Middle East, not because they actually enforce it, so they don't run around flaunting it like they do in America.
Yes.
Okay, not trying to arrest anyone. That keeps them undercover.
Even if it's kept underground, if I'm the king and my military is actually doing what its function is supposed to be doing, which is protecting people from things that will hurt them, my military would be deployed to go find you, trying to keep it underground and then arrest you.
I'm more on the end of just if I don't see it and keep it away and stay away from kids.
Russia, bro. Just Russia. Did they don't parade it? If you parade it.
Wait, Vladimir Putin.
If you touch a kid, they hang you right away.
That's overseas.
Isn't Vladimir Putin a war criminal? I mean, that's what we're told by the Zionist-controlled media. But anyways, back to what I was saying. I brought up Instagram to say that you now can't go live on Instagram. You have over 50,000 people that follow King Bao on Instagram. Your notoriety came from the ring, much like Jake's did, because people listen to fighters. And the reason why people, I believe, humbly, respectfully, the reason why you're platformed and you're platformed is because there's nothing more primal, there's nothing more real than emotionless battle. Which is what the two of you have done.
Yeah.
You put your emotions aside. You don't go cry and simp and fucking fight. Are you kidding me? No.
No.
It's a skill. It's a task that both of you are skilled in. You train. You work your ass off to become the best at what you do. You made yourself viral. I think it was on Instagram, right?
Everywhere. Exactly. What was that video again?
Because
the only video that has been taken down off of UFC Fight Pass.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Are you serious?
I'm the only interview. I'm the only post fight interview
and
ever.
UFC acts like they're all free speech, but really they're Drew bought their organization.
Did Dana White have something to do with that directly?
Okay, so I don't want to blast the guy who I know that works there that let me know. let's just say he's in the office and he said, Joel, we had to take your interview down.
Why?
Because they got a call.
From who?
Oh, wait.
So hear me out. I don't want to put this guy on blast. I'm trying to protect his career.
You gotta be kidding me.
So I got a call after they took it down. Red Pill Media, Red Pill MMA. Great journalist. He was the only one that covered it. He said, what happened to the Joel Bauman interview?
Yeah.
He was everywhere. The next day they took it down. Now, subsequently, that got hundreds of millions, if not a billion views, over a billion views.
A billion? With a B.
It was everywhere. It was everywhere. Platforms, you have to figure.
Everywhere. Conor McGregor, Chris Brown shared it. Bro, everybody was sharing that interview. Everybody shared that interview. So
because you said, so a lot of people here might not know what you said.
Yeah, well, I called out Jimmy Kimmel because he said my fucking name. Don't say my fucking name when I'm here to save children. He said, Joel, he ran with the herpy narrative. I set up the fucking world. People are retarded. All you got to do is say a little something, give them a little nugget. And everybody thought I had herpes.
Oh, you played 5D chess.
Yes. People are stupid.
Gotcha.
People are stupid.
All right. So
what it is.
Jimmy Kimmel calls you out. Subsequently, you win a fight.
Yep.
And
been planning for months.
And so you knew what you were going to say.
Yes. I've been planning it for months.
And tell the world what you said.
I said, you know, Jimmy Kimmel, viral this. I fight to eradicate childhood malnutrition.
Yeah.
And until they release, what I was supposed to say was the client list. I fucked up. Well, until they release the client list, you, the mainstream media, and all Hollywood are pedophiles to me.
As far as you're concerned,
yeah.
To you.
To me, to protect myself, obviously.
Yes. Yeah. You're all pedophiles. Yeah. Turns out.
A lot of them are. It's freaking... Yeah. For sure.
Turns out, spoiler alert.
So UFC, hey, UFC, I want to say this since we have Jake Shields here, UFC legend.
Yes.
Why'd you take my fucking interview down when I was just trying to save kids?
Yeah, they say they're a free speech platform. Put that shit back up.
Facts. And let's see how many views.
A lot better, though, because I remember at one point, you know, Dana find a fighter that tweeted out faggot.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's not doing that anymore.
Well, I want to know how many views I would have. I think I would have the most viral interview of all time, but so I'm like, not even in the UFC.
COVID disinformation. We're getting our YouTube accounts back.
Yeah.
Right? So here's an appeal.
Here's
the public UFC. Appeal from King Bao, Joel Bauman, to the UFC. Put that fucking video back up. This man fights for kids.
Yeah.
Literally steps in the ring. There's nothing more primal. Fights in the name of eradicating childhood malnutrition.
Yeah,
you're a hero.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, and that thing should be up and have been seen billions of times.
I appreciate that. Speaking of fighting, this is gonna go viral. This is gonna click.
Yeah.
My favorite, I became the biggest fan of you, is we have a mutual kind of grievance with someone named Mike Jackson.
Oh my god. Guy is the worst.
So you actually got to put your hands on him a little bit.
Yeah, that was so great. We've been battling on Twitter. He's just, people don't know, he's just he's a quarter black, but he has a big black power tattoo. He grew up in a rich white neighborhood playing lacrosse. That shit is way whiter than anything. that's some white ass shit. But I think he maybe went to college and like got in some kind of weird classes with depression or something and decided he was black and went down this black power route, he would get killed so quick.
There's around nothing
any real black power people would kill this dude so quick. He clearly never been around any hard people. He starts running his mouth to me on Twitter, being like,
oh, he's a Nazi.
Yeah,
he's so fucking like,
oh, you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And no,
we're both professional fighters the same way in the UFC. He's a fake ass fighter. Probably the worst fighter.
He fought CM Punk. So how he's most known is he fought CM Punk, and Dana White actively came out afterwards and torched him because he was fight. He should have just went in. And if you're respectful, like if I'm respectful against you and we're fighting, I'm going to end the fight. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do my best against you to end the fight. He went in there to try to clown CM Punk. So he's like, when he's beating him, he's kind of like slapping him and just kind of like, you know, taunting during the whole time. And Dana White's pissed because he's like, I have you in here to do a job. End him. You know, this is supposed to be the best fighters in the world. Did he go 3 rounds with CM Punk?
I think so.
I think he went 3 rounds with
CM Punk's a pro wrestler. So they brought in just like, they gave him the easiest possible fight.
Yes.
The dude sucks. But anyways, we fought at the same weight. You know, I'm retired. He's in his prime fighting. So we agreed to fight on site. I walk in the UFC gym one day and I see him hitting the bag and I go, oh, here we are. Let's go. I dropped my stuff. People didn't know what was going on. So I started walking towards him. This guy starts going, no, no, mom, let's do it in Houston instead. Let's do it in Houston instead. I'm like, we're both here right now. We're in a fight gym. We're fighting, bro.
Yeah.
So he starts running around the gym. He's hiding behind like, bad.
Yeah, no, it's bad. It's literally, bad.
Unfortunately, it's that, bad. I think UFC has that on tape.
Wait, actually running from you.
The UFC has that on camera, but I haven't asked him to release it yet. Some of it's on camera, but this part's not. He's literally running around the gym. And eventually the guys I'm with kind of grabbed me because they didn't know what's going on. I'm going to know Dewey Cooper. He's this really good trainer.
Yep.
He used to kind of be part of like the Black Power gang.
Did you get a hold of him?
But he's like cool as fuck. I did. And then Dewey's holding me. And the guy goes, that's what I thought, you Nazi bitch. And Dewey goes, what? So he lets him go right then because he didn't know what's going on. So I ran over, grabbed him, chucked him on the ground. He felt like a little weak girl. Got mounted on him and just started slapping him in the face. I didn't want to punch him. Just kind of like, oh, you're a bitch.
That's what he did. That's funny because that's what he did.
So like, this is like,
and then he starts yelling, help, help, somebody, please get him off me. And he's a pro fighter the same way.
You don't say that.
You're kidding me.
You don't say that.
And then they ran.
Oh my God.
I wish I was on a little longer. Mike Jackson. This video got multi-million views. Yes. Super viral.
Yeah, this was super viral because nobody likes. He's probably the most hated man in MMA.
By black and white people. He thinks like black people like him, they hate him. The amount of black people that come up and apologize for him, I'm like, bro, I'm not blaming
Because he calls people white apologists or...
white, like cockroaches. And
yeah, like he's like,
this is over-the-top racism and he's three-quarters white.
That's like the perfect accountability. Yeah. Like immediate accountability.
He called the cops on me after too. He was a big defund the police guy. He called the cops and pressed charges.
No way. I didn't know that
charges.
Part.
The DA kind of laughed at it, but they had to kind of like process for a second. They were like making fun of him to me. They're just like,
he called
like,
the police on you.
He literally called the police.
This is,
hey, can charges. I say this? Can I advocate for this? So Pat Miletich is a buddy of mine.
Yeah. Pat's
I dude. Fucking love Pat. Pat is what's up, Pat. I hated to see Mike Jackson fight Pat Miletich.
Pat's like close to 60, right? And he still beat the crap out of him for a couple of rounds.
Yeah. So Pat, like, he came out of retirement to fight Mike Jackson because Mike was calling him a fucking Nazi.
Well, he got him fired because he was at January 6th.
That's right.
He like called his
That's
work
right. Like, he's the one that got like, Pat fired.
That's, he helped disrupt
his life. By the way, that's
life.
Another thing that we need to start appealing for reparations, mm-hmm. you know, like YouTube and your video.
Yeah.
These people, can you believe that millions of people haven't physically gone to break these people out of these gulags who are being held without due process?
Yeah, the January 6th thing. Guy's doing 30 years for walking in a building. It's just absolutely disgusting. It shows the political system, though, is like rigged against us. They want to put us in prison for long amounts of time. That's why we have to be careful things we do. We're on a dissident list. All three of us are on a dissident list. They want us in prison. So.
Yeah.
And I want to talk to you about, like, I was on a Spaces on the way over here to meet with you. And there was somebody in the room that said, like, hey, your extreme accountability rhetoric, you need to slow down on that. You need to take that back a notch because you're kind of like destroying a movement as a respected leader in this movement by saying the things that you're saying because you're inciting violence. I want to get your take on that when we come back. More with Jake Shields right after this. Everybody knows about Pizzagate. Everybody knows that it's true. Everybody knows about the satanic Hollywood elite pedophiles taking this adrenochrome stuff to try to de-age. It's disgusting. Nobody's ever going to do that. Everybody does want to de-age, though. Now you can. Go to uncancelablehealth.com. It's not a hoax. Uncancelablehealth.com. You've probably seen testimonials on my Rumble channel. This is actual de-aging, reversing the aging process at the stem cell level. Uncancelablehealth.com. Uncancelable. The show continues right now.
You want to know what I'm sick of? Yes.
Wow. Okay. So they actually did it. They deleted my TikTok account. Gone.
Ooh, you got your TikTok taken away. Welcome to the fucking cool club. You're fucking welcome for setting the blueprint that a lot of you are monetizing now. Because people like me can't even exist on the platforms that you create on. Which is why Instagram banned me from going live for 30 days. We should have right around 20 days left. You want to know what else I think is stupid? This.
I am not a fruit person, okay? But this does not seem right to me. What is going on with the watermelon this summer? Have you seen this?
So I cut watermelon for my kids, and they're all bringing it right back, saying they don't like the texture. I've seen enough videos of people posting rubbery watermelon. I can't believe I got one. I got a rubbery watermelon. The texture is so weird.
How did you not know that you had a fake watermelon when there's no seeds in it? Like, people wonder why they're getting sick and why we're more unhealthy than we've ever been when they eat shit like this. So like it's not even food. You want to know what is? Ace Manin. Did you know Ace Manin is the world's most researched natural molecule on the planet?
No.
Probably the same reason Pfizer wanted to hide the science behind the you-know-what for 75 years from you. We don't hide our science. Most of it can be found in this book, as it's been researched for the last 25 years, to show what it does in the body, which is turn on the immune system better than anything else. It's so effective that in less than a year, it took Skunkle Phil from this here to this.
Because I'm in much clearer head space. I don't have fucking medication. I'm not on any prescription drugs. They would have me on a fucking 10 of them right now if they'd fucking, if I listen to my doctor.
So if you want to de-age, lower inflammation naturally, while also increasing stem cell production by up to 400%, you should check out Alavea. And oh, by the way, every time you take one of the products, nourish children with the same Ace Manin technology. Because after donating it, Sam Castor realized he could eradicate malnutrition using a buy one nourish two model. When after 1 year of donating to an orphanage in Romania that was losing up to 30 kids a year, after 1 year of donation of Ace Manin technology, no child died. And when we get 3 million of you to decide to put down the bullshit and the fake food and biohack your body with food technology from actual science, we can effectively eradicate malnutrition from the planet. So instead of following influencers like this, you should go to Alavea.com, get yourself some food technology, save yourself some money, get healthy, and save children. And at checkout, use the code SAVEKIDS. That's SAVEKIDS, all one word. And for an additional 10% off, use the promo code KINGBOW10. Back to the show.
This conversation, we're back from break right now. We're conversating with Jake Shields, tremendous fighter. Not only like in the ring, but the fighting that you have done to expose the real truth. I believe actually to what's unique about your platform is, I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm. but there are a lot of normies that watch fighters.
Yes.
You know, because really, honestly, if you don't want to watch faggots, the UFC is, you know, MMA, like this is all that's
it's
left.
The only real sport left.
It is. I mean, even the NHL.
They don't want gay pride flags, guys on their knees, man, Black Lives Matter.
So, and taking knees on the field.
So fucking gay.
It's only like real sport left where men are real.
And yeah.
It's just, there's nothing more real, like I said earlier, than getting in a cage. So it makes mm-hmm. us all like humbled and real, and like I didn't realize it till all the politics got forced on us that I just happened to be around the coolest fucking people ever.
Facts.
And it's in my blood to fight. I'm natural. Just like, you know, when I first started tweeting, like all my management, everyone's like, you gotta stop, but I'm like, fuck you,
yeah,
fuck off.
So this is like
I'm making more money now than I was when I was fighting, because, you know, people want to work with people that are real. It's been so easy making, you know, big connections with rich people. And I still work with Jewish people. Someone's always, people are always like, oh, you're anti-Semitic. Like, a lot of the money I make is directly working with Jews. They don't care because they know I'm not a racist. They know I'm real. They know it's all bullshit. And a lot of them know what I'm calling out is true. They know AIPAC and shit controls our country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, people chastised me. I was on with Myron Gaines and they're like, well, you're literally funded by Jews. And I'm like, yeah, who's that? They're like, Gold Co. Yeah, these are great people who are helping to protect Americans to save their financial worth and their value because the imminent financial reset is coming. And Gold Co, like with physical gold and silver, is helping to protect them. Yeah, of course we're going to have them.
Yeah.
Of course. Exactly. Yes.
Of course I work with Jews. I'm not like this anti-Semitic thing.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of them like being called a Nazi, so going back to the Jake Shields thing, I mean, we were so close in this country to, and hopefully we're changing that.
Yeah.
We're changing that. Where Mike got Pat Miletich, like you said, fired by saying, hey, you were at January 6th. He called the people, and that's what got Pat Miletich off the air initially. UFC legend. And that's what essentially made them fight. But it's crazy that Mike could just make that call. And I mean, think about all the people, like you said, who got called, you know, by their bosses or by whoever, that lost their jobs over not getting the, you know what? Like, we have to actively war against all of this. Otherwise, we don't get our country back.
Yeah,
that's the whole fucking point.
They're
so you
combatants.
Beating his ass, in my opinion, when I saw that, bro, it was just like much needed. But would you fight him like now?
Oh yeah, I'd fight him. He would never fight me. He keeps trying to make up all these weird rules and like boxing matches. Like we're both MMA fighters. You're trying to box me, and it's like I want to get paid. I can find a good organization that's going to pay us well, but I'm not going to go and box you. I'm going to fight you, you like pathetic clown.
Oh, so that would that be like an emotional?
He won't agree to fight me.
But for you, would it be emotional?
No, I'll go in there and just clown him. He felt like a girl. I picked him up and threw him on the ground.
So is there any of that, though? I mean, both of you are like, so I fought on the streets for many years.
Emotion can come in a little bit.
As a bounty hunter, right? Yeah. Because I had to. These are fights you can't lose because somebody will die. You're bringing a gun into every fight because you're wearing one.
Mm-hmm.
likely the person that you're trying to arrest has one and will use it or do anything that they can to prevent going to prison after they fucked kids. But what about for you guys? Are any of these fights, I mean, you're skilled, trained fighters. This is like a professional sport, right? That you're trained in. Are any of these things emotional?
I mean, with someone like Mike Jackson, of course there's going to be some emotion involved. I would try to pull my emotion back some so it wouldn't go crazy, but I really just want to smash his face in. So I think it would actually help as long as I can control it. I would love just to mount him again and just beat him senseless.
Is there anybody in the real world right now that's not a skilled fighter that you can't get in a ring with, but whose face you would love to smash in?
A ton of them.
Okay, let's start.
Ben Shapiro. I could probably go on and on.
But why? Okay, so let's get the why too. Why would you want to smash Ben Shapiro?
Because he's just a lying weasel. You know, I think he's Israeli intelligence. I talked to Charles Johnson, I believe it is, who used to work with him in Breitbart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He said he personally watched him taking first I said Mossad, but he said, no, not Mossad, some other Israeli agency was giving him talking points to say. And then I did a little research, and turns out he got his start through Breitbart News. Mm-hmm. Breitbart went and funded his organization in Israel. There's pictures of him meeting with Netanyahu. He openly admits he funded it in Israel. I looked a little deeper. He got funded under Matt Drudge, is it? Matt Drudge was Drudge handed report. The Monica Lewinsky story is how he blew up.
What?
Monica Lewinsky, Benjamin Netanyahu had tapes of Monica Lewinsky and him. They tried blackmailing Bill. It's crazy this isn't bigger news.
Oh, my
news.
God. They tried look this up after this.
They tried to blackmail Clinton to pardon Jonathan Pollard, I believe it is, who was like the biggest spy ever. But Clinton, I guess, wasn't able to do it because his chief of staff and everyone just said, no, I'm going to resign if he does. So that's when he leaked the tape to Matt Drudge, who's also the same tribe. Also, his assistant was Breitbart. He went on. So it's not just Jewish media. It's literally Israeli-controlled media. It's crazy that it's not a huge story that Israel blackmailed Bill Clinton and other ones that leaked the tapes. They also got caught filming, they were tapping Trump's phone. It's not even news. Trump never mentions it. Instead, he just goes, we need to be closer and be a bigger ally to Israel. It's crazy.
Yeah. What do you attribute that to?
Money, they have to money and maybe blackmail. I mean, they just gave him $100 million through that Alderson, which is Alderson, Jonathan Pollard, who I was saying earlier.
No, it's not Alderson. Let's get it right. What is the name? Alex. Edelman.
Edelman.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The husband died, but his wife is still taking the money. So they just gave him $100 million.
All right.
So when Jonathan Pollard got out of prison, he
right after the conviction, the fake conviction by the fat black Alvin Bragg.
Yeah. But literally, Alderson, they took, or what do you say the name is? They took him in his private plane and flew him to Israel. This guy's the worst spy in American history. They say he should have been executed, but somehow they pressured to get him out of jail. Wow. Literally flew him to Israel. The hero's welcome at Benjamin Netanyahu. This guy's the enemy of America. And he gets off the plane, celebrates it. And he, you know, so it's like these people are the enemy of America.
Yeah. Just last week, actually, speaking of private jets and getting out of jail, Julian Assange.
That's great.
This guy, by the way, I don't know what the site is or where it's at, but apparently it was a U.S. government jet that had to fly him to a U.S. territory close to Australia to apparently make some sort of a plea to the Espionage Act, 5-year stayed sentence for that. He did it in exchange for his freedom. This guy's a hero, but apparently this jet cost well over $500,000.
Wow.
And there's like some kind of a fundraiser, and I wish I knew the site. If you guys could put it up on the screen, we will. But so there's some sort of a site where you can go and help this guy. And I think that everybody owes at least a buck. I mean, if you got a buck, don't go broke trying to help him, because everybody knows that, you know, everything is fucked economically. But go help that guy. Do you think that Donald Trump is the answer?
Unfortunately, I don't. You know, I like Trump. I think he's funny. I would prefer him over Biden, but he's just completely sold out to Israel. He's not really the same candidate that was running before. I actually turned on Trump a little bit during COVID because he shut the country down. I could tell he knew.
Is he a mass murderer?
I mean, he pushed this. That's a hard question, right? Pushed the shots. So.
What do you? Well, it's the question is, what did he actually know going into it? Because we know that these patents for these shots were around.
Mm-hmm.
For a long time.
Since at least 2015, according to the great Dr. David Martin.
So what did he know?
Yeah, it's hard to say.
It was a DOD operation.
Like, I felt like Trump didn't want to shut the country down, but he did anyways. He got pressured in it. And I knew it was a terrible idea. You know, the 2 weeks to slow the curb, that was obviously just such bullshit. But everyone, it was a popular thing to do, and they pressured him into it. Mm-hmm. And it just, you know, they tried to crash in the economy. Look how bad the stock market fell. How many Americans just got crushed during that?
Facts.
Meanwhile, the hedge fund guys were cleaning up because they knew to buy at the bottom. You know, luckily I made out quite well financially from it, but everyone else didn't, you know? So a lot of Americans
Did you buy GameStop? Struggling.
I never bought the GameStop. I know I probably should have, but.
Did you buy GameStop?
No, I didn't. Actually, that's how I met Carlos Cortez. I was like, hey, I need some financial expert to weigh in on this GameStop stuff.
Wow.
And he like raised his hand in some, I think it was Facebook, which I'm obviously permanently banned from now.
Yeah.
Which is dumb because I never talked about any of this on Facebook. Is literally where I posted pictures to keep up with my boomer parents and show them my kids. So all my memories that I've ever had with my kids since I had flip phones and Nokias and Blackberries, crazy, like Hillary Clinton smashed, they're all gone. I can never get them back. But no, I didn't buy GameStop. It's something that I've always believed, like Wall Street is very manipulated and it's really easy to kind of predict. Mm-hmm. I think that it's participating in the beast system. People that are smart and I mean, hat tip, make a bunch of money. Like you made a bunch of money during COVID.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I feel shitty in the stock market. There are certain stocks I won't buy though. Like I never bought in the pharmaceutical company.
You wouldn't buy Pfizer stock?
I never bought in the pharmaceuticals, even though I knew they'd make a lot of money. I won't buy like weapon manufacturer stocks. So I try to have a little integrity. You know, it's hard to have integrity in the stock market, but it's like, I also got to make money too.
But that's how I feel about fucking politics. That's why I feel about like the voting. Like we all know voting is bullshit. They just stole the election from...
But don't you still have to participate? And here's my take on that. A lot of people falsely claim, Stu Peters is saying, don't go vote.
Yeah.
That's fake. I've never said that. And that's a way to isolate me and detract me. And, you know, I've never said that. As to the contrary, I think that there's a reason why everybody does need to go and vote. I think the reason we need to go and vote is because I really believe, and we're going to talk about extreme accountability, I really believe that when we exact that, it's only going to be once we have had a very speedy but fair judicial process and convict these people of the crimes that they have committed against humanity. They've openly declared war on us. And I believe that obviously in any criminal case, what do you need? You need evidence. So to gather that evidence, you need to have Americans that are going and casting a vote so that you can actually look at the real data when we get our hands on that and say, yep, look, this is how they stole this election. These people have committed crimes against humanity. They have stolen the people's rights away from them. To be represented by a two-party constitutional republic, which we don't have. It's fake, it's gay, it's rigged, it's stolen. But in order to be able to prosecute them, we have to have the data. This is why you have to go and vote.
No, I agree. And it's, I mean, these people are literally doing treason. They need to be held accountable. And also the voting, I think they do rig the elections, but I also think there's only a certain amount they can push them. So I think if something's too big, I think it's harder. Like, you know, like kind of like it looked like Trump was going to win. All of a sudden they stopped it and they came up with a couple hundred thousand votes.
But that's the thing. Do they remember this?
Millions? I don't know.
Remember this? That's physically fucking impossible.
No, it is. But could they have done that with 10 times more votes? I'm not sure. You know, maybe they could. Maybe I'm wrong. But I feel like they can only do it to a certain level. So I think it looked like, okay, he was going to win by, you know, 50, 70,000 votes. So they're able to manipulate that. Could they have done that with a million votes?
Yes, they could.
I don't know. Maybe they could. I don't know.
And I think they would because I think the hubris is so intense because these people don't believe that there really is any accountability that's coming for them.
Why the fucking illegal immigrants? I mean, think about it this way. They just fucking had 30 million up, they think. Maybe 30 million people passed through. We don't even know.
Flooding so many and we don't even know.
We don't even know. And now they're going to make all of them be able to vote.
Mm-hmm.
So that just, ballots. So you just said with a million, do you think, well, they could do it with a million?
Yeah. And I think they would.
Yeah. And I think they're going to do it with 30 fucking million.
And here's why I'm so convicted in saying that. These people are clamoring for, whether it be a false flag or a real event, they're clamoring for World War III. Look at what we're doing with China over Taiwan. Look what we're doing to all of the Middle East over Israel.
Ukraine.
What we are doing to Russia via Ukraine, which, by the way, Ukraine's fake. Israel's fake. These are the front lines of the U.S. military industrial complex. I believe that they will do that also to spark a kinetic confrontation in our country on the streets. I believe that 30 million people could go and vote for Donald Trump right now, and they will say that 3 million people went and voted for Donald Trump right now. They will make it so obvious and out in the open that they cause intentionally people who love this country. People by and large in this country are really great people. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, I very rarely have problems with people individually in the world, you know?
No, inherently,
regardless of how controversial I am on Twitter, I never have problems in real life. I get along with all groups of people, including extreme liberals and like,
same.
You know, I can cross between different groups and that's what's, but a lot of people can't. But I rarely have problems in the real world.
What about the way that people love their kids? I mean, do you believe that fathers in this country overwhelmingly like just
absolutely love our kids? There's nothing we love more than our kids. You know, I'd be willing to die or kill for my kid without thinking twice.
Yeah,
and anyone that's not, it's a pathetic father.
And so, if some harm were imminently facing them, you would physically react, right?
Yes, I would hurt anyone.
Yeah,
try touching my child.
Yeah, well, I'll kill anybody that try. And you touch my kids, I'll kill you. Exactly. Period.
Well, speaking of, I mean, this draft. There's no way if they do this draft that we're not fucking fighting. There's no way that these 18 to fucking anybody 18 to 28 today is not the same as when we were 18 or 28.
Weak,
was not the same when you were 18 or 28, bro. Like I was a fucking man when I was 18. I see some of these 18-year-olds now. Look at the fucking kids that we interviewed in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
We interviewed these kids on the streets and they're probably like anywhere from like 18 to 21, 22.
And they're all faggots.
Weak, scared. There's no way that redheaded kid was.
Oh, with the white and black shirt?
And the fucking star glasses, the plastic star glasses.
Oh, yeah, that guy. Yeah.
There's no way that I'm letting that kid even go to war for me.
Yeah, can you imagine going to war and these are the soldiers you're fighting beside? Like us, the three of us, I would, you know, I could trust you guys to go fight. But look at most of the people. I would not want them, you know. They'll put a tranny beside you. Like, this is protecting you.
Yeah, and I'm not going to be in a foxhole with you. I'm sorry, Jake. Yeah. I'm just going to tell you right now, like, this might insult you. I will not be in a foxhole with you.
No, why not?
No, because that would implicate us. That would infer that we are hiding from somebody. We're not going to be in a foxhole. I'm going to be right next to you, charging and storming the gates of hell.
Yeah,
because we're going to go on the offensive. What we're going to do.
Always.
Yeah.
The samurai dies facing the enemy.
Proudly be doing that right next to you. But to get back to this like election theft and the hubris and the arrogance and this psychotic, overwhelming, just blatant war that they have declared on us. Yeah, they're going to steal it because they know that inherently in our country, we have good men who love their kids,
mm-hmm.
who would do anything for them. And so the way for me to justify taking kinetic action against my people or the people or the majority or disarming a country that believes that they have this ability to possess firearms, which 2A is obviously infringed all the time. But the only way to justify that is if I spark off a kinetic confrontation, a civil war of sorts, or, you know, some race against another race or religious ideology against another spiritual faith or belief, something that people really actually believe in. If I can interfere with that, which in this case would be a political process where men and women go and they have the right to select their leaders to represent them. If I interfere with that, if at the granular level, I can impede your ability to be prosperous and to provide for your children and give them a place that is safe and leave them with a country that is better than the one that you grew up in. If I can threaten that imminently, mm-hmm. right in front of your fucking face, you're going to go to war. And when you do that, that gives them the justification that's necessary to spark off that need for the cancellation of elections, for example. Yep, nope, that would be a distraction. Nope. This gives them the justification to go door to door with a world entity like the United Nations or some other worldly body to confiscate your firearms and to disarm you. And then look at what happened to Australia or any other republic that lost their ability or surrendered willingly their guns and said, yep, nope, you're right. The government, you're here to help. You're here to save us.
Well, I think that if they do that, whoever's knocking on the door is a terrorist, right?
Of course.
And then as a citizen, as an actual sovereign citizen and being, you have the opportunity then to make a citizen's arrest.
Well, yeah.
I think that if someone comes to your door, this is what I think. Someone comes on your door and says, hey, I want your guns. Hey, Bob, my neighbor. Hey, neighbor Bob, we have a gentleman here who's confiscating our guns. Do you have guns for them to confiscate?
Yep.
Can you come over here real quick and have a conversation with this gentleman? Okay. Make 4 of those phone calls, citizen's arrest. You tie them up or whatever, and then you say, hey, I got these gentlemen here who are trying to confiscate my guns in 2A. That's how you handle that situation. Do you harm them? No. You just get more people involved who don't believe in what they're trying to push. And that's how we come together, in my opinion, as a collective to actively war against this bullshit, because a real American isn't going to come to another American and say, hey, give me your guns. There's no fucking way.
Yeah, there's no way we're giving our guns up. It's
no way.
They've shown they're the enemy of us, and that's our last chance to fight. You know, hopefully we can do it without a fight, though. I would much rather wake people up and do the political means, you know.
Yeah.
I might have to start running political office myself, because I know I can't be bought.
That's why I said, peacefully, you tie them up mm-hmm. and you make a citizen's arrest. You don't beat them up. You don't do anything. You just make a citizen's arrest.
Jake, do you think that they're, and about, I'm interested in your opinion too, of course. Mm-hmm. Do you think that there are enough of these people who overwhelmingly, the majority of Americans own guns? Mm-hmm. Do you think there's enough of them that would be willing to use them?
It would be hard to organize. Most people have been cowards. So it's a tough situation, you know, yeah. That's why we definitely want to avoid a war. Is it possible? Of course it is, if it comes to that. But that's last resort. If they push us to a point, you know, of course I'm willing to die for my beliefs. But it's much better to do it political means. That's last resort. I mean, right now our voices are important, waking people up. I think we've done a lot in the last year to a couple of years to wake people up. And a lot of people are changing. You know, a lot of my liberal friends, I thought I was crazy at first, are being like, wow, you were right. So it's, I think the impact we're having is big. I think we can do it. No, they can only cheat it so much. If too many people are watching, too many people are paying attention. Maybe I'm wrong, though. Maybe it'll come a point where we have no choice.
In the 1930s, the Weimar Republic in Germany mm-hmm. was a place of complete and total degeneracy.
Yes.
Right? They were threatening their children with sexual perversion and pedophilia. Mm-hmm. Millions of people supported the rise of the National Socialists because they promised a return to normalcy. Mm-hmm. This is a tough conversation. We're going to have it. And so when Hitler came to power and performed an heroic act like book burning to rid the filth from that nation that was threatening those children, of course, now that's framed completely different. We all know that.
Yeah, people are waking up to this. To me, you know, you always said the book burning is book burning. Then recently you do a little digging and you go, oh, he burned the first trans clinic books. They were literally turning children trans back in the 30s.
So Magnus Hirschfeld.
Yeah, so doing the same thing again. So you start getting a little more perspective and you're like, oh, history is not as black and white as they taught. It's a little more gray. You start questioning these things. But we've been taught absolutely never under any circumstances can you question it. It's illegal in like, what, 20 countries or maybe more to even question the Holocaust.
It's illegal in Florida.
Crazy, yeah. Like all these laws they passed, they made it where, look how many movies have been made, probably thousands of movies with Nazis are just the epitome of evil, 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 evil. So they want it so ingrained in your head that if you start asking questions that you're an anti-Semitic, you hate Jews, you're a Holocaust denier. They've done an amazing job of that. But people are, through social media and people like us that are pushing the Overton window, making people starting to question it. And again, I'm still trying to learn myself. I'm not pushing strong one way or another. I'm just trying to do a little research and understand history better. Mm-hmm. But by doing that,
you're pretty damn strong.
I definitely do push the limits. I'm not going to lie.
So in the way of extreme accountability, which is something I'm like Mr. Extreme Accountability, right? So the event is on October 4th. You're going to be there. Do you think that that's a rhetoric that needs to be tamed or toned back?
It needs to be very careful how it's said.
Yeah.
I do agree we need extreme accountability. Mm-hmm. We need extreme accountability.
What does that mean?
I mean, I think I would love to see some executions of certain people, but we need to be done right. It needs to be done legally. It needs to be proper trials. We need to make sure we're getting the right people. I don't think we necessarily need to take thousands of people out, but there probably is a couple hundred people.
It's going
to
be a long line.
If a couple hundred people got hung publicly, maybe it would make an example to the other people that are doing this, that you can't come over and just screw us and screw us, but there's zero accountability. So I think it's a tough conversation, but these people, I mean, guys like the Faucis, there's a lot of them. I'm not going to start naming names.
Yeah,
but
extreme accountability is essentially means the reinstallation of the rule of law.
Mm-hmm. And if there's no accountability to people, why won't they do it again in a few years? If they're actually held accountable, they'll think twice, at least for a long time to come.
The question is why?
Do you think it's too crazy?
No, I mean, he asked the right question. The question is why? We have to, Stu already knows. I always talk to Stu. You know, we talk a lot behind the, we talk a lot behind the scenes.
Just say it.
The question I always ask Stu before he does anything that maybe he asks for my counsel on is, Stu, what is the intention? What is the intention behind why you want to do this or why you want to say this or why you want to act this way? So what is the intention behind these people doing it? Whatever they're doing, the vax, the shot, the infiltration,
the wars,
the occupying of our country,
Well, indoctrinating our children.
Well, it's war. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
they declare war on us.
So if it's war, then war is war. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's why I say every post, you know, when I'm responding to comments, I say onward, onward and on war, ward and on. We have to continue to move forward and push back against these people. And if it gets to the point, and it's getting to the point, in my opinion, it's already been past the point when millions of people are dropping, and then you have the media
dying suddenly,
mm-hmm. right? And then you have the media covering it up or not covering it at all, mm-hmm. and taking away my platform, yep. censoring you. Mm-hmm. Okay, now it's active war. Mm-hmm. Now it's active war. Now I'm all about whatever accountability. Fuck you. It doesn't matter because you're killing people. Mm-hmm. I have people, you know people, and you know people, I'm sure. I know people who I believe, I'm not going to make any medical claims, but they were healthy people.
Yeah, but these...
You know a lot of people that were injured from it that are young, healthy people. It's surprising.
It used to be like, hey, do you know anybody that died after they got the shot? And now the question is, who in your family?
Mm-hmm.
Who in your family? How close to you was the person that died suddenly as a result of this? And every single person that you talk to says, yep, I absolutely know somebody.
That means we're at war.
Yeah.
And that means, in my opinion, when Stu talks about extreme accountability, look, you pushed the shot or you were a doctor. I mean, they had the insert for the vaccine say intentionally blank.
Intentionally left blank.
If you pushed the shot and you ever... open that and showed someone that it wasn't, you should be put on trial, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree with you accountability. I just think you'd be very clear that done
the guidelines.
Legally through you know, proper
judicial proper course.
Exactly. Because I'm sure there's like feds watching you, obviously. So it needs to be very clear that it's both of us or all of us.
Let's talk about fed watching real quick.
Sure.
You know, Stuart, do you want to go to a break or do you want to?
Let's skip through this one. Go ahead.
Okay, so you were a bounty hunter.
Yeah.
And I love that you gave us our props in fighting and stuff like that. But a lot of people, you know, why I love you, bro. And we've had conversations because you're a real motherfucker and you're actually about it. Mm-hmm. You know, the reason why I respect this man, I don't know if you ever heard this story, is because the first time I got on the phone with him, he says, yeah, man, I think they're watching me. I just had a conversation with my brother-in-law. It's like
they're for sure watching you.
Yeah, for sure. He's like, I had a conversation with my brother-in-law and I said, man, if they come for me, I ain't going. Mm-hmm. Bro, I've had that conversation with my close friends and family. Like, guys, if anybody starts knocking on my door, I'm not going. So when he said that to me, game on. Okay, now I know I can trust this man, right? So Stu, you know, a lot of people hear your passion and a lot of people, you know, think you're this and think you're that. But I think that you should actually tell people a little bit, since you got two fighters here, like a little bit about the background of being a bounty hunter and why you started to kind of get pushed over the edge.
I was actually unaware you were bounty hunters. That's very interesting.
Yeah, really? We started speaking out during the George Floyd riots. Mm-hmm. Like, that's when he actually built the platform. That's when I built my platform because I
couldn't take it anymore after the lockdowns. And then they're saying, oh, it's safe for these people. And they're literally burning my cities. I didn't even own a gun. I had to go and borrow a gun from my friend's house because San Francisco was burning. I need to keep people safe. And
yeah, protesting racial injustices, you were safe from COVID.
Yeah, COVID. They literally said that. And people were so dumb, they believed it.
Yeah.
That's when I realized regular person is a freaking retard.
What about walking into a restaurant? You have to wear your mask, but as soon as you sit down, you can take it off.
I was living in San Francisco during this. I just couldn't do it. I wouldn't put a mask on. My friends would always like, well, let's make it easy. I'm like, no, you guys are fucking cowards. I'm not putting a mask on to walk in a place.
And now Tony Fauci just admits that he was making it up as he went along.
People were just cowards. I didn't get vaccinated, so I wasn't allowed to go in restaurants. Some places would still take me, some small restaurants.
Yeah.
I knew people, so like the bars would let me in and stuff. But I'm just like, fuck you guys. I'm not doing this. That's why I moved to Vegas. My whole life I was in California, but these people were just trying to bully me around. I was at a dog park, put a mask on. I was like, go fuck yourself. I remember sometimes going in a store and they'd be like, yeah, put a mask on. And I'm like, you can literally still in San Francisco. So I'm either going to walk out with this or you're going to ring me up.
Stay 6 feet away from me.
Yeah. They always ring me up too. Don't make me sell stuff. I was literally willing to do it. I was going to walk out. Like, I'm not putting that fucking thing in my face anymore.
Weird number, 6 feet. You got to stay 6 feet away. You have to mask your child.
The children.
Yes, bro. Like, we destroyed an entire generation, and probably more to come.
Kids read faces, small children,
which is why it's important. Yeah, which is why it's important, because he started speaking out to fight for children.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I started speaking out to fight for children because we're parents. You're a dad.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, real men are dads, in my opinion, mm-hmm. who want to protect their children. So when he starts telling me, bro, I love the fact that you're fighting for children. That's why I do everything that I do. I'm like, bro, he doesn't talk about that enough. Nobody really knows like why he does what he does and why I fuck with him, how I do. So, you know, can you tell the audience, you know, this is now me interviewing you. Can you tell the audience you know, some of the people that you used to arrest, like, and some of the people that you used to go after, and the breaking point, because you told me your breaking point when you went after a guy, I'm not going to ruin the story, but you went after a guy, did all this work to get this motherfucker, and then...
Within an hour, he was out.
Yeah. Watch, so, listen to this story. It's
crazy. I mean, yeah, so TCAT, the Twin Cities Apprehension Team, which was like the most prolific bounty hunting team in all of American history, more so than the guy with the open-chested shirt that has feathers in his hair and lives in Hawaii, that shoots people with paintballs. Like, no, this is real life. Like, these people have committed level one felonies, crimes against persons, gangs, guns, drugs, rape, murder, child molestation. These are the people that we're chasing. We're not going to come get you if you fled on your DUI, you know, or you're overstayed your parking meter. We're going after really bad guys, crimes against persons. You've hurt somebody, particularly children. And there was one, we went to Arkansas to get him. We looked for him for like a year. He was, the feds were looking for him, the FBI, the U.S. Marshals. They couldn't catch him. We caught a lot of people the FBI couldn't catch. Those guys are inept.
How many arrests? Just so people understand.
Thousands. Thousands of level one felony crimes against persons arrests. By the way, the FBI, if I were the king for the day, I would not only just disband them and get rid of them, but I would arrest most of its agents, and they would be
sounds fair.
Yeah, they would be facing extreme accountability.
Yeah.
These people are perpetuating war against the American people. This is the enforcement arm of a Gestapo uniparty that's completely out of control. This guy, we chased him to Arkansas. We finally found him in Arkansas. We brought him back. He had raped a girl multiple times. Now, this was a situation where the girl worked with him and she needed like a roommate. She was from out of state. She trusted him. He was actually her superior, hired her, drugged her multiple times with this. What is that? Molly? Is that the date rape drug? Is that what that is? Or
GHB maybe?
Yeah. I don't know what it is. Anyways, the thing where you just like don't remember and you fall asleep or whatever, would drug her repeatedly and fuck the shit out of her, rape her, and then leave her. And like bloody and like this. Now, this girl at the time is like 19, 20 years old. We found him when she was 24 after he had posted bond and ran on that bail. We found him in Arkansas. We drove him all the way back. Now, I don't ever get emotionally involved, much like you guys, with these cases, because I mean, it would tear you apart. Like,
yeah, it'd be hard looking at these cases without you make you want to kill the people when you arrested them.
Of course.
Yeah. And you can't do that because you'd be in jail.
Yeah. And so we get the guy, we're driving back, and I have never met, in all of the years that I've done these cases, I have never met one of the victims of these cases. In this particular case, I had to show up at the request of the prosecutor. I had to show up to testify to the lengths that this guy went to avoid accountability and escape prosecution. And so when I walked into the courtroom, as I'm on my way down the hallway, this young girl comes out, beautiful young girl in her 20s, early 20s, and she came running up to me. She recognized me because I was on the news when we brought this guy back. And she recognized me and she came running up to me and gave me this big hug. And I'm like, who is this?
Well, yeah, what's going on?
This was the victim. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, immediately that was like, okay.
You felt really good. You did a good act by catching the scumbag.
And although you kind of, at this point in my career as a bounty hunter, I had realized how unjust our justice system really is and how the court system is really fucked, actually. And so, but yet that moment, Jake, I felt like, okay, this is why I do this, mm-hmm. right? This is it. And we went into the courtroom and this guy was arraigned, right? And I'm providing testimony through the prosecutor as to the lengths that this guy went through and how many years that this guy was on the run and escaped accountability for repeatedly raping. And she couldn't have been the only victim. An animal and predator like that.
Usually get multiple victims.
Yes. So how many unnamed victims are out there? And I'm like, yes, this is why. And the judge issues bail in the amount of like $10,000, which in the state of Minnesota means that you only have to pay a bondsman $1,000, right? Before my report was even e-filed, after years of this guy being on the run, us taking a look at this case for over a year, going all the way to Arkansas, kicking a door down, dragging his fat fucking worthless self back to all the way to Minnesota. This guy's out of jail before my report was even e-filed.
God, that must have pissed you off. Must have been so hard not to go out and just beat the crap out of him.
Man, I almost probably could have gone to jail for what I wanted to do to that judge.
Oh, I could imagine. It must have been hard not to want to go and kill him. Like, a little off subject, but I don't know if you know, Cain Velasquez, a friend of mine who was a fighter.
Yes.
Some scumbag.
Cain.
Molested his child, and they let the guy out of jail like a week later. So yep. Cain went to the court, high-speed chase, chased him like 15 miles, ran him off the road. Man. I think went to shoot him, but he shot the scumbag that was driving him out instead. Cain was in jail for like 6 months until he posted jail. They kept him in 6 months. And they let the guy that the guy was at a daycare, probably messed with a bunch of children. It's like, yeah. Cain was a hero, you know? Yeah, maybe he was a little like crazy chasing this guy down, but Cain of all people, he's a scary man. You know, Cain's someone I know. He's one of the most scary people I've ever met. So the guy messed with Cain's kid of all people, man. I wish Cain would have dragged him out and killed him with his hands, but yeah. And he's still dealing with court from this. They kept him for 6 months before they even gave him bail.
See, that's immediate solutions. And you had mentioned earlier, we got to go to break for a quick second, but you had mentioned earlier that you might consider political future, which would indicate that you have ideas for solutions and a platform. And I don't think a lot of people have really heard in detail what Jake Shields' idea of solutions is. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to talk about that when we come back. More of Uncancelable. See you in a minute.
This is getting out of control. Our government is sinking $1 trillion in debt every 100 days. That's right, $1 trillion every 100 days. Do you want to bail the government out of debt? Yeah, no, I don't think so. You see, when people worry about the national debt, they often turn to safe haven assets. That's why thousands of people have called GoldCo, the number one rated gold company, so that they can diversify their money with time-tested safe haven assets, physical gold and silver. Today, GoldCo is offering fans of this show up to 10% instant match in bonus silver with a qualified account. Just call them, 855-706-GOLD. Again, 855-706-GOLD. Free bonus silver, a half-ounce silver coin, free gold and silver information kit. What are you waiting for? Safeguard your money with physical gold and silver, just like I did with GoldCo. Call 855-706-GOLD. Again, 855-706-GOLD. Or just visit them online at StuLikesGold.com. Again, that's StuLikesGold.com. Photolight therapy, have you heard of this stuff? It's the X39 patch. It's the de-aging patch. Literally reverses the aging process by producing cells, treating yourself at the cellular level. So first you start seeing more energy, clearer skin. Then your organs and ailments start getting the attention that they need. And after a few months, you actually start reversing the aging process physically by watching wrinkles go away, crow's feet go away. It seriously works. Go to uncancelablehealth.com, uncancelablehealth.com. We are with Myron Gaines, and Uncancelable continues right now.
You want to know where you and I can have our most uncancelable conversation? Manect. That's right. King Bao is now partnered with Patrick Beck David, Valuetainment, and Manect. What's Manect, you ask? Manect is a place for you to get a guaranteed response from me. Choose from the options of either a text, video response, or even set up a call. Download Manect, search for King Bao, and I look forward to talking with you all. Back to the show.
So we're back, Uncancelable, because we are. We've proven that. Proven that.
Yeah, like, amazingly, they've been trying to cancel me hard, and I'm for sure you too, but like, so far, no one, other than one or two small things, no one stopped working with me. It just shows people are ready for truth.
Yeah, and namely, tried to cancel me over this event, this Extreme Accountability event, because they're trying to frame this as, oh, he just wants to arbitrarily go around killing people, which, absolutely, that's intentionally being misframed.
Yeah, we want trials.
We want trials. We want the rule of law in our country. And so
some public hangings would be nice, though.
Yeah. And so
when convicted,
it's really unfortunate, in my opinion, that the majority of the country is watching what their television set tells them to do. They're believing what's being written in the New York Times or the Rolling Stone or the Daily Beast or Right Wing Watch or USA Today. Mm-hmm. We can name them all. These people are participating in this war that's being perpetuated against us, the American people. And so I think it's really unfortunate that people don't really get the opportunity, because of the cancellations that have happened and the censoring that's happened, to actually hear from us, to hear from what does Stu Peters mean when he says extreme accountability? Exactly. What is that? Yep. And so then when they have the opportunity through X in Spaces to hear me actually articulate and explain, what do I mean by extreme accountability? And then they're like, oh, well, shit, that makes a lot of sense. And yes, now I support you and I can get behind that. So for you, because, you know, you, although your platform on X is really growing and in other spaces, it's really growing. For the large part on some of these mainstream places, you've been misframed. And so I think that because we're sitting down for you with you here for Uncancelable, I think that like our whole platform is about hearing from you on what your platform actually is. So I want to hear from Jake Shields, like, what do you think is the future for America? And if you were king for a day, what would happen?
Yeah, no, of course they misrepresent me. That's what they always do. You're like, you're a this, a that. I mean, I am a transphobe. That part's true. But the rest of things...
But hold on. Like, phobia would mean that you're scared.
Yeah, I'm not scared of him. Yeah, no. I'm disgusted by him, I guess. Yeah, so what's the word for that? Trans disgust. But that's the problem. Is like, part of me thought about politics, but I don't know if that's a solution either. But then you see someone like Thomas Massie, who's like bringing up real issues.
Yes.
So maybe there can be some change. But there's a lot of issues. I mean, the obvious one is like AIPAC, getting rid of that, not easy, you know, or make them register under FARA. Probably getting rid of all these lobby groups that are destroying our country.
Not only under FARA, but I think actually declare them an enemy combatant and then treat them accordingly.
I would agree. They need to be completely expelled, not just register. Yeah. I mean, all foreign lobbies need to be expelled. There should be no foreign lobbies in America. I want to stop all these stupid foreign wars. I want to stop all these pharmaceutical companies from controlling our country. There's a ton of issues, you know. I don't want any gay stuff pushed on kids. No trans. I want all these trans doctors. I actually got suspended Twitter for a week because I said they should take any trans doctor, psychologist, therapist, teacher, anyone that encourages kids to become trans, they should take them and they should publicly execute them. So Twitter banned me for 7 days for saying that.
Wow.
I hold by that. I hold by that statement. I think they should be, but
I'll triple down on that.
Yeah, but 7 day suspension for saying these kids that are. It's basically the same as molesting a kid, really. If you're taking a kid and you're turning them into transsexual, you're completely destroying their sexually. You're ruining them from a young age. It's very similar what they're doing to them. So it's like it's completely destroying the kid.
Warfare. It's warfare. So like I come from the sales background, the network marketing background, the personal development background. And in personal development, I think that all of this is an attack on sovereignty, meaning You're an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. It's actually people who make money and strive to become more who add value back to the world. That is why commerce and capitalism isn't a bad thing a lot of the times, because you have to become a better person to provide value. Yeah. And what better way to provide value to them to become more? My first mentor, he was one of the diamonds in Amway. And he, you know, helped it open up in India and Brazil.
Shackley.
Well, he didn't work for 30 years. Yeah. This motherfucker got to do whatever he wanted, take his kids to school, be around. That was his dream, right? And he said, Joel, you can only earn what you become. And how much today are all the answers out there, bro? You've read neuro-linguistic programming books.
Yeah.
You've taken time to become better.
And you know that because you recommended it to me.
Yes. And he reads it immediately. I got you. You know, so
the introduction to NLP.
Yes, absolutely. By Richard Bandler. So all of the information is out there. And this is another reason why I feel like they censor, because they don't want people. What?
They.
Who is they?
what do you mean these people?
these people
what
censor.
What do you mean you people?
So if they attack people by, I mean, think about this with the kids. They don't want the kids to know that they can become better. Andrew Tate talks a lot about, you know, depression isn't real. Bro, I've been saying that for 10 years.
Yeah.
Since I've been in network marketing, I was like, why are they even saying depressed?
Yeah, sign up for a fight, you're not going to be depressed. You're going to be fucking training your ass off.
Bingo.
Andrew Tate needs to sit down with us on this program.
Yes, yes. There's no, to me, I don't believe in anxiety. I believe in misplaced energy. I feel like if you have anxiety, it's because you have a bunch of energy that's not going into a purpose or a passion that you're so focused on what you're not doing. Well, of course you're going to be fucking anxious. What is your dream and are you pursuing it? Are you? No? Well, of course, then you're probably going to feel some fucking type of way. Of course, you're probably not going to be happy. So maybe depression and anxiety, maybe if you've ever read a fucking book and start applying yourself and building, you built the Stu Peters Network in 4 years. Mm-hmm. I became one of the number one independent, you know, content creators on the planet. You became not only you're a fighting legend, a world champion. Now you're doing a whole completely different thing. See, we take all of that energy, all of our creative energy, and we put it towards adding value. How many people that are depressed and anxious, and how many of these trans kids, if you were to sit down with every trans kid and ask them, are you happy?
Yeah, obviously they're not. That's why they're trans.
Bingo. They want to change something about themselves. So I feel it's actually an attack that they say we're in the five. What is it, the 5D warfare? 5D warfare? Well, 5D warfare is a war on the mind. What if you could become better? That's why I always ask these kids, what if you could become better? What if you could become more? What if you had the information to actively change your life? That's why self-help and personal development and Audible and books, They don't want fucking people to read books.
They don't want you reading Myron Gaines, Why Women Deserve Less.
They don't want anybody to become better, because if they can say you can't become better or you can't become more, go get the surgery.
Yeah, no one's depressed or anxious when you're striving to be better.
You know, or when you're successful.
You might be a little bit anxious, you know, in some aspects, but it's not the same as anxiety they have.
You're not depressed when you're rich.
No, you're too busy doing things.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't have time. Mm-hmm. You're rich and successful because you made yourself be. There was nobody else other than all glory to God. Because like you said, you built this in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't. God did.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
But were you anxious in the, watch this. Before you were a world champion, before you built this,
mm-hmm.
were you anxious?
I wasn't. I knew I was going to go accomplish something.
No, okay.
I was working is why I wasn't anxious.
Divinely inspired, I would say. Like, there was nothing that could stop me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and I can 100% relate to that.
Like, bounty hunting, same thing. Mm-hmm. You can run. You're just going to go to jail tired.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to catch you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's nobody that's getting away from me. When I set out
to, more to this, because I decided I was going to be a world champion. Everyone else told me I was crazy when I dropped out of school. And I was like, no,
you're never going to do that. Yeah, you're never going to do that.
And then when you do it, everyone's like, yeah, I knew all along. Yeah. So it's like, I just decided I was going to do it. And it was never any doubt in my mind that I was.
And then all of a sudden, you have all these friends.
Exactly.
I was a rapper. Mm-hmm. And so Wikipedia or the Daily Beast or any of these people, they always put failed rapper. No, I wasn't a failed rapper. As a matter of fact, I was a tremendous rapper.
Yeah, I did do something
great
else.
Lyricist. And if you go listen to any one of my songs, we were actually doing this the other day when you were with me at mm-hmm. my home, because this is my brother.
Yep.
And you know, every single, like today,
mm-hmm.
I go, like I do what I do now. And I go back and I listen to those records and I'm like, even then, I was saying this
what
shit.
What were you saying? Yeah, you were saying.
I was saying this.
You're saying the same thing.
I was a morally upright individual who stood on principles.
Yes.
I didn't worship anything other than Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't believe in the spirit of idolatry. And in my last album that I gave to the label that I was signed to, the record, the single that I owed them was called I Never Made It. That's what I titled it. And that was because I was saying, I see what you are all about. Your industry is like sex with no condom, and I'm sliding out it.
Yes.
Like, no, fuck you.
Yes.
Yes.
I am not doing this,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a man of principle, but I was a very successful. Anything that I've ever done that I've actually been passionate about and believed in to my core, I've just known. There was no anxiety. There was no stress. There was no questioning. There was no doubt. I knew I was going to do this and that it was going to be successful.
Facts.
Yep.
But when people are empty shells, when they don't really feel convicted in a cause, they won't be successful because they don't believe in them.
Yeah.
They don't do, to your point, they don't do anything to better themselves in the war, to create for themselves, to build abundance for themselves, to make themselves great so that they can properly love the person next to them, their significant other, their children, to be a leader, to be somebody that's revered and looked up to.
And they need to love themselves. You know, if you're not doing your most and not like speak, so many people are so scared to speak their mind. Oh. I have people say they're scared to like my tweets. Like,
that's what crazy. Kind of man to me. Is don't scared even get to me
like,
started.
Like a tweet. Like, what kind of a coward of your man? How is any girl going to respect a guy that's scared to like a
I would
tweet?
Have shared your life-saving information, Jake, but I was afraid to lose my platform.
I didn't retweet you, but I love that tweet people tell me. I'm like, you realize what a coward that makes you look like?
Yeah, I hate it's when like, people come up to me and be like, bro, I see what you do. I just can't like it because, you know, I my job is going to see it.
But look, that happens right now. Look at Alex Jones. When I went to Austin, Texas and sat down with him, Alex Jones said, I knew you were going to come here and talk like that.
Sad because Alex Jones is the guy who looks like, you know, a pioneer in this stuff. And he's I got clearly you not know speaking what? Truth.
I have reasons privately that I'm not going to say out loud on the show. I've shared them individually. Alex, we just had a conversation about this. I have a lot of respect for Alex.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just want to say that. Look in the camera. I've got a lot of respect for Alex Jones. I don't respect some of the cowardice.
Mm-hmm. It's sad to see that someone like Alex who helped.
We need to hear it respectfully. I just feel Alex needs a rebrand. And I feel like everything that he's going through will give him the opportunity to actually have the conversations that he might need to have.
He needs to sit down here with us.
I know.
Yeah. With me again.
I agree.
Yeah.
He needs to come here and have an uncancelable conversation and just say, hey, did you take any money from anybody?
Yeah. I mean, it's not even really like if it was money, okay. I don't even think it was that. Like, I don't think that there's like this direct deal between Alex and some you know, Jew somewhere that's like, because I mean, look, I do business with Jewish people.
Yeah. My audio engineer is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Shout out Casey Golden, right. Good Look Studios. Quit calling me a fucking Nazi. All right.
Black Nazis.
Yeah.
Shout out Goldco, 855-706-GOLD. but here's what I want to say about Alex. He said, I knew you were going to come here and talk like this. Let that sink in. Okay, so if you knew I was going to come here and talk like this and you invited me to come here, as Bao would say, what was your intention?
So maybe he wanted you to because he couldn't say it. So he brings someone else.
Bingo.
And the truth okay. through you. And he brings Nick on still Bingo. Too. So yep. maybe he knows he's being a coward because they have something on him.
And so if...
That's an interesting
I know.
Perspective.
Yeah. And so if there's a reason why I would say that I respect you, it's because if that's what the intention was and you accomplished that and that opened the conversation...
Then he did his job.
On a giant platform, the guys
on his network too push hard. They see what the truth is, so and he keeps them on. So it's obvious that it's
Harrison Smith, Owen Schroyer. These guys are very. They.
Well, wait a minute. Maybe that is the best approach for him.
Highly respected, by the way.
Well, because if he does that in conjunction through you or through a Fuentes, and then has all these other people say the things, well, then he can kind of be the guy.
Well, that's I didn't out say it, right? He has plausible deniability. That's what you're saying? Well, I'm not. I didn't say it.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah. So, I mean,
That's what I mean by the cowardice. That's the part that
still
I...
still sucked like,
I know.
To hold his tongue, but we don't know exactly what's going on, I guess.
And there's really something that's why, on. I don't think that we should speculate, but
Let's have him on and have a conversation. Alex Jones, you are invited to Uncancelable. Let's talk.
I can definitively say that, but that there's respectfully, that is cowardice.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And Alex is a guy that I always loved. And I remember I was excited when I met Alex. I'm like, oh, this is one of the few guys I wanted to meet. So seeing him be a coward hurts.
And I'm not here to trash him. Like, absolutely not.
It was my dream to be on InfoWars, one of them. And we did.
Yeah, I went on. I was at Harrison show. Went on his show.
Harrison Smith.
I never did Alex. But I met Alex, hung out with him. Such a good guy. So it's sad seeing
the American Journal, Harrison Smith. He does a great job.
Yep.
The War Room, Owen Schroyer. This guy went to jail.
Owen invited me on, too. Yep. Yeah.
Owen's great.
What did he go to jail for? It was something like
January 6th.
There, though. Wasn't even not even there. I'm confused.
I don't know the circumstances really surrounding like what they accused him falsely of doing.
I think it was because
That's why I say you need to be careful, like, what you say and how you say it. I mean, they're going after journalists.
Yeah, there's no doubt that, I mean, look at Julian Assange as a perfect example. Like, here's a journalist who literally did journalistic duties. I received information and I published it, and now I'm in jail because it threatened the murderous, pedophilic corporate crime syndicate that wants legal, sexual, unfettered access to your children. Do you think that's what this is all about?
Definitely seems that way. You know, the guy's pushing truth. Another one, Snowden, you know, I mean, obviously it was legal what he did, but he should be pardoned. The guy's an American hero.
Why do you think Trump didn't pardon Assange or Snowden on his way out?
I think too much pressure. I heard from like Pompeo and those guys with the rumor.
Pompeo.
Yeah, that guy's a scumbag. He wanted to kill Julian Assange, and I guess he was put pressure on him not to do it.
Yeah.
They're probably making some kind of deal, I think. I forget what the deal. I can't remember who I heard it was.
I think Pompeo is Jewish too.
I don't know if he is, but he's constantly going to Israel. His APAC person, I think, runs his Twitter.
Yeah.
Can I challenge you a little bit?
Yeah.
That's why I don't think that, you know, you said for him, you know, he needs to be a little bit careful about what you say. I say, fuck that. I say we go all out and we say whatever the fuck we want. And we
should
make
be
them,
that way.
When we make them come knocking, so then we can expose who the enemy is.
Yeah.
Fucking come knock on my door. I'm going to go live.
Yeah.
I'm going to grab whatever I got. And then I'm going to look at the camera and I'm going to say, hey guys, I have no idea who this is knocking on my door, but they want me to come with them. So you guys get to see what happens next.
I mean,
because now they know who the enemy is, potentially. Because if you're knocking on his door or you're knocking on my door or you're knocking on your door, I've tried to do is get back to humanity, I fight to save kids, bro. I fight to save kids. That's the only reason I ever got into fighting. I fucking hate fighting. I fucking hate fighting. Fighting, love martial arts, love competition. I hate hurting other people. I've never been a street fight, bro. I've had fucking people slap me, spit in my face, push me. I never retaliated because I grew up worshiping the samurai, and the samurai don't unsheath their sword unless they're going to fucking use it to the death, and otherwise it's dishonorable. Mm-hmm. I'm not pump faking. I'm not none of that shit.
Yeah,
right.
I grew up fighting way too much, but yeah, I love fighting and I hate fighting. If that makes sense, sure it makes sense to you.
Yes,
nothing I love more, nothing I hate more. It's one of those things. A fighter would understand that.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think about fighting? Is training something that you enjoy or don't?
I love training. Some fighters don't. I still train almost every day. I train other fighters. I'm completely passionate about it. I'm a martial artist. I'm always trying to learn and grow.
Yeah.
I've improved so much over the last few years now that I'm coaching and stuff because I'm studying it a lot more.
Yes.
I wish I was doing this more when I was fighting because I'm doing a lot more studying. And it's just, it's amazing like how much martial arts have changed in the last 30 years. The growth is insane from UFC 1 to now. There's never been a time like this because everyone can study every martial art from around the world. They can take the pieces that work and just perfectly blend them together. It's just,
it's kind of like the NFL. You know, like when you watch the early NFL, like the guys did not have the same skill level.
Yeah.
And so now all the players have a certain baseline where they meet. Like there's going to be guys that in the UFC. Yeah. Like the guys in the UFC, there's probably not one blue belt.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like
other than Mike Jackson, everything's good. I think Stu would beat Mike Jackson up, but
so that would be a good fight. Wait, that would be fun.
Hold on a minute. You say that like it's like
because I think you're a really tough guy. I think you'd actually seriously have a good chance with this guy, a pro fighter.
Yeah,
a regular guy, he would obviously beat up. But I have a feeling you could fight really well.
Yeah. He wouldn't stand a chance with me.
Yeah, that would be fun. That would be fun.
I've got to bring this up, and this is going to be, you know, maybe somewhat controversial, maybe not. But I mean, it's something that's been talked about, and nobody's ever asked you like point blank, at least not that I've seen.
Yeah.
So you were at AFPAC.
Yeah.
Okay. This black security guard who, I don't know if there was agitation. It doesn't really matter to me.
Yeah.
Sneeko got Superman punched. Yep. He had a cheap shot, you know, a tooth chip, whatever. Nobody did anything. Why?
Yeah. I'm glad you asked that. Cause to be honest, I saw there was little stuff going on, but I kind of stayed away.
I
wasn't really paying attention.
All I said is nobody, if anybody ever does that to you.
If I knew it was Sneeko, I 100% would have jumped in and fought. Yeah. And, you know, I'd probably gone to jail because Sneeko's, they've only had a few friends there. Sneeko, Nick. If anyone touches my friend, I'm instantly in the fight. That's the creed I grew up on. I mean, you know my crew, Nick.
Yeah, Nick.
So we're known for if anyone touches one of us, we're all fighting.
Okay.
So
I was a little embarrassed when I saw it was Sneeko and I was right there, but I was just kind of trying to avoid it because I thought it was like random people I didn't know. And then later I saw the video or I saw Sneeko outside and I'm like, oh, what the, you were in the fight. I was mad at myself and embarrassed, but I had no idea. I think you can kind of see me walk over trying to look what was happening because I'm, definitely everyone knows in my crew, if one of us fight, we all fight.
Yeah.
We've been in some very famous brawls together.
Yeah.
Like if anyone touches my friend, I'm instantly in. So that was, but I'm also trying to stay out of fights that aren't mine. Cause like I said, I've just fucking dealt with that Mike Jackson pressing charges on me for assault. And, so yeah, it was an unfortunate situation because Sneeko actually is my friend. He's coming out here, I think tonight.
He's here now.
Yeah. I think he's going to go out to, Nate Diaz's fight next week with us in Orange County. So I like Sneeko a lot. So I was definitely not happy that happened right next to me. I didn't do anything.
Maybe we'll have to pull up.
I really enjoyed the conversation that you and I had with Sneeko.
Yeah.
Because I think that there's a lot of people that underestimate the intelligence of a guy like that.
He's a really intelligent kid, really smart, really respectful. He understands things, you know, like he understands like,
I wish he loved Jesus.
Yeah. I think a lot of these kids don't understand the business and taking care of others. Cause you know, I did a few favors for Sneeko thinking nothing of it, but then all of a sudden he does favors back on me without me asking like, oh, this kid gets it that like friendships are about like, you know, giving and taking. It's like, this kid's extremely smart. And I introduced him to Nate Diaz. Nate really liked him. Nate don't like a lot of people. So
yeah, it took me a lot longer than him to realize that about friendships.
Yeah. Right.
So, I mean, hats off to that kid.
I always got a way to help my friends, but if someone's never doing anything when you ask for a quick favor, you know, and Sneeko went out his way to do stuff for me without me asking.
I saw a bunch of people question, oh, Jake Shields was there. Why didn't he jump in? First off, if Jake was actually around, he's fucking somebody.
Yeah.
I know. I've hung out with you before. Yeah. I know.
Everyone knows I'm not just going to watch. So I was a little embarrassed that I was right next to it and didn't see that going on.
Yeah, but at the same time here, bro, like,
there's a lot going on there.
I told a story last week where I wrestled at the number one team in the nation, University of Minnesota, Golden Gophers. We were national team champions when I was there. I was on the sixth highest recruiting class. I was known as the guy. I was like one of the only African-Americans on the team. Mm-hmm. If you get in a fight with your crew, you are now liable. Yeah. So we're the wrestling team. If we get in a fight, everybody's going to hear about it. Mm-hmm. It's going to come back on me. Coaches are going to be like, who's the one? Why didn't anybody speak up or try to stop it? Right. So when you're putting yourself in a position where you might be fighting civilians, that's never a good look for us.
It's not, but our dumb ass, I was always like, if one of us fights, we all fight.
Yeah, no,
we grew up in the Stockton area. It was like, if one person's in it, we're all in it.
You know? African-American, is that like Judeo-Christian?
You know, I don't even fucking consider myself fucking anything, bro. Yeah. I'm fucking a human.
I'm actually not human.
You're just our brother.
That's what's great about martial arts is people don't care about race. You know, we might tease each other.
Coach Wink says that all the time.
But no one gives, that's the one place, maybe a few places, but it really doesn't matter. We all bleed the same. On the mats, there's on the mats and the ring, it does not fucking matter what race you are.
Coach Wink was on the show recently on the Stu Peter show. We had his back.
Oh, nice.
He needed a platform because outside of the gym where Bao trains, he flew the flag upside down because we're a country that's in distress. Mm-hmm. And anybody like, there was some like group of veterans that the media went and picked on some low IQ people that were saying, and I'm not saying veterans are low IQ people. I'm saying these particular veterans were low IQ people.
They weren't given all the information.
Yep. And then they, you know, attacked him for being like anti-American or like
instead of asking him
flag
why
etiquette or whatever else. Do you think that our country's flag should be flown upside down? Are we a nation in distress right now?
We are definitely in distress. I don't know if it should be flown upside down or not. We are definitely in distress. I 100% understand why he does it. I personally probably still wouldn't do it, but I can 100% see why he would.
Yeah, I back him. As a matter of fact, the Stu Peters Network has a shirt that has an upside down flag on it. And above it says American Dissident. And that is because I do think that we're a nation. We are.
I love my country and I want to save it, but we are not in a good place right now. So I support his right to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he just said what you said. Coach Wink, I can tell you right now, like, He's one of my favorite people on the planet. He's given me a platform, given me a place to be, place to exist. And he says it all the time. The reason he loves fighting and doing what he does, he doesn't make a lot of money doing what he does, right? He does
a lot of money training fighters.
No, he does it out of passion because it brings people together. He says, I got guys from Mongolia. I got guys from Russia. I got guys from Ukraine. I got guys from America. Everybody that comes to the gym becomes brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm. You're punching except Mike Johnson.
True brotherhood. Yeah, that's the one guy that he can't.
Well, but it's because he attacks.
Yeah,
he got that victim black mentality, bro. Like, here's the thing. I'm all about. All right, we'll go there.
Reparations?
No, fuck that. Fuck. I'm a king. There's a reason I'm king. Bow. The reason I even started that shtick was because a lot of people don't realize, in my opinion, that yes, I believe that there is a thing to being black. I think that there is. I don't believe I'm black. First off, let me get this right. I don't believe I'm black. I don't believe in color. I'm fucking brown. First off, right? But I think that you should take pride in whatever you are.
100% agree.
You should take pride.
Everyone should.
Everyone should take pride in what you are. And I believe that black people sold themselves out. We sold ourselves to slavery. A lot of people don't fucking know this. Black people sold other black people in slavery. The white people, Slavs, slave, comes from the term Slav. So when we have all these motherfuckers that are black, you know, saying, oh, taking knees on the field. Bitch, you make millions of dollars. You're a one percenter in America. Why are you fucking, what are you talking about reparations? You made it, right? I've made money before, right? I'm one percenter in what I do, okay? I don't need reparations. I created value. I'm not a victim. It's people like Mike Jackson who, oh, you white nationalist, Nazi, whatever. Like, I would never fucking call you that. And you fucking, this motherfucker, we all know. We all know Stewie Newton.
All right.
There's nothing more toxic than victim mentality. That's what keeps you back. If you decide you're a victim, you're going to be a fucking victim. If you're walking around being like, poor me, I can't succeed, you're not going to succeed.
You can see these people from a mile away, right?
Facts.
Oh, yeah. Jackson, like these people with their, the posture. They won't look you in the eyes. They don't roll their shoulders back and hold their head up high because they know that they don't walk for a purpose.
Yes.
But I think that there are so many people in this audience that are probably stuck somewhere in limbo where they don't really know how to activate their purpose. And I know that 100% of people feel it. They know what they're supposed to do. Do you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Like they've felt this calling.
It's your fear. It's fear.
Yes. And fear is the one thing as proven by COVID, as proven by war, as proven by fights.
Satan.
Fear is we all have a common enemy. His name is Satan. Fear is the thing that the enemy will use to make men, fighters, you, me, anybody, do things that normally under any circumstances they would never do. I would never put a fucking mask on my face and stay away from my dying aunt. I would never get an injection that I knew nothing about. I would never be strapped to a ventilator when I walked in under my own horsepower ventilator.
That's what was killing people.
Yeah.
I mean, they quietly stopped using ventilators.
Like a ventilator, that's called life support. That means that you're fucking dead, right? And they're trying to revive you and bring you back or keep you in a state of coma so that you're at peace, so that your family can come and say goodbye to you. These people were literally walking in under their own horsepower and being strapped up to ventilators while these hospitals killed them, murdered them for money. So fear, it's been proven This is the one thing that will make even the strongest men do things or consider doing things that they would never normally consider doing. It makes illogical, irrational thought processes turn into actionable, like situational construct mood, like action.
Victims are filled with fear.
So do you think, because I know that everybody knows that they have a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that if everybody fulfilled that purpose, that where we would be right now, we would be having a completely fucking different conversation right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They've turned men into cowards. They're scared. When men need to be masculine like us and take things back. Stop being scared. I didn't realize how scared everyone was to die during COVID. I obviously don't want to die, but I've came at peace that I'm going to die. These guys were hiding in their house for a year, running around with a mask on because there was some virus with like a...
They're still doing it.
Yeah, they believed. Even then, they were saying it was like a 2% chance. It was way less than that.
Yeah.
But they're saying these guys were just like you guys, you're all going to die. We're just going to sit there and hide in our houses. You guys...
4 years later, these fat ass, mm-hmm. completely out of shape people who probably have ailments that are going to kill them.
Yeah.
Who are not the models of health are walking around outside wearing masks. Alex was, we were just there.
Yeah, I still see it. It's just so pathetic and sad. The guys driving with their cars, like, are you really that fucking scared?
I mean,
men need to come to terms that we're going to die and accept that and live life to the fullest.
This is why the rise of stoicism and all of this stuff, the Andrew Tates and all these people, where the red pill community mm-hmm. is rise, because I feel like it's turning the tides. Like the samurai used to meditate on death. When I was in fourth and fifth grade, after reading Hagakure, I suggest every man in the world read the book Hagakure, okay? It is the principles and the maxims of the samurai. And in there, they used to meditate on death daily. And you would have to imagine arrows raining down on you. And this is visualization, meditation. And the mind, what people don't understand is there's a reticular activating system. And that is why visions occur. When you dream and when you start to believe and you meditate and you do all these things, you are literally programming your being to walk in expectation of what it is that you're creating. So why were the fucking samurai so ruthless and so crazy on the battlefield and they didn't fear death? Because they literally used to imagine themselves being rained down by arrows. I remember when I was a kid, I'm sitting there, imagine myself burning on fire, feeling my skin melt off. Ooh. And you get down to, literally, you have to go, no, you have to. So then you get to the point where you can feel your lungs, you can't breathe anymore, and you have to let go. And then you do it again.
Yeah.
Do it again immediately. Like once you die, do it again, because then you become desensitized. And then you imagine yourself drowning. So imagine yourself putting, seriously.
The two most horrible ways to die.
Yes.
And you no longer fear death.
Bingo. Bingo. Do it five times in a row and watch. After the fifth time, you'll be like, oh, fuck.
Walk around confident. Like,
well, fuck. Well, here we go. Sneeko
would be happy to do that. He'll get 72 virgins.
So what I'm ultimately, once you do that and once you master it, you can walk purposefully, because that is ego death. Everybody's in their ego, and everybody was in their ego during COVID. Oh, I don't want to lose my job. Oh, I don't want to. Shut the fuck up. We are all here to give. This is an inspiring table. You inspire me. Why? Because you were a world champion. I can become better at jiu-jitsu. I always wanted to be a bounty hunter. That was my dream job at one point in time. Then I found out that it wasn't.
Yeah. Right? How many years did you do that for?
I almost 15.
Wow.
Yeah, 14 and a half. And what ended it was, COVID-19 plus a fake domestic assault charge that was thrown against me that obviously I was dismissed. Didn't happen. I don't hurt women. But, you know, when you have your abilities to carry a gun temporarily restricted, which of course all of my rights have been restored, I had to do something else. And literally I said, God, what do you want me to do?
And this is why.
And he goes, I want you to talk about it.
And this is why I love his story. And he doesn't, in my opinion, he doesn't tell it enough. Because when you understand, see, I understand his mind. I know people who went to war. Yeah. I know people who have taken lives. They think differently.
Yeah.
They've seen war. It's like for me, I've seen myself killed so many times.
I've watched men die.
Yes. I've seen in my mind myself die so many times and make peace with it. I walk in no fear. That's why they say, you're not scared to say that?
Yes, man. Why would you be scared after what we've done through all of
it? Yeah. So I know he's been on go mode. How many fuckers could kick down a door and watch someone impale themselves on a sword? Sorry for saying that.
I did that here in Vegas.
Yeah. Sorry for saying that story out loud if you didn't want me to tell that.
But look, we all come from similar backgrounds, and look, we speak our mind. It just shows you men need to get masculinity back to stick up for the country. That's why if I was running the country, I would make it mandatory through high school for every kid to do at least one fight a year, have it maybe in PE, have them train for, deal with anxiety after training for a fight for 2 months and fight in front of the whole school. Imagine the kids, the stress, they're not going to be depressed. They're going to be, oh shit, I got to learn how to fight. They're going to lose weight. They're going to become tougher. They're going to become better men. Just the walking out there in front of people to fight, it's a lot of stress, you know. It's not like it's just getting hurt. There's so many things going through.
It's actually easier to do it in the gym or in the backyard, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, when no one's watching. It's so easy if some random dude wants to fight me back there. Like, sure, I'll go back with no stress. But if I got to go out there, I know in 2 months I have a fight. There might be millions of people watching.
Yeah.
Or not millions, but in high school, maybe there's 1,000 people, but that's anyone that matters to you. Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to have to watch you fight. Just the stress and pressure these kids would deal through, they become so much better men.
Mm-hmm. What about your fight career?
I had a good fight career, you know, won 5 world titles, beat 5 UFC champs, did a crazy run. I loved it.
Do you train fighters now?
Yeah, I train. It's not my primary thing I do, but I love it. It keeps me involved in the sport. It's still like a rush of going out there. As close as you can get to the rush of fighting when you're in someone's corner, especially if it's someone close, you know, someone that you're and I only train.
It's already hard. It's harder, in my opinion.
It's so stressful.
It's harder when
I'm in the back. Like, I start finding myself shadow boxing. It's just funny. You're getting the nerves. Like, some of these big fights, like, especially, I know, I was made both the Conor fights, and Conor was talking shit to me. I remember getting so amped in that fight. Like, just like looking at some of these big fights, cornering is just as stressful as fighting.
Facts.
How do you make your money?
A bunch of different ways. A lot of stock market and shit now, and a lot of stuff involved in the fight thing, you know, just DVDs I sell, seminars, have a few extremely rich clients that I work with.
Yeah,
you know.
Good. What is your benchmark for success? When will Jake Shields have made it?
Financially or in life or, I don't know. I just...
open-ended.
I think there's lots of things, you know, you're always trying to improve and be better. You know, you want a healthy family, happy family, you want kids, you want... obviously making money, but I'm not driven by money. I think I'm pretty comfortable. Of course I would like money. I would like a private jet's the only thing I can't really buy that I would like. That's like the next level money.
I can tell you that's just really expensive.
Private jets are really expensive. Yeah. Other than that, I can pretty much buy
anything. Pilots that I find that are the most, you know, you can go buy a plane for a couple, two, three, four, five, $10 million. Mm-hmm. That's not a big deal. But having pilots all the time.
And the pilots. And
That's the real drag is like, holy shit.
That's the serious money. And that's, you know, sometimes it's maybe getting a little uncomfortable. But
when it gets to a point where you can't walk through an airport without, you know, but getting involved in a physical confrontation, that's when you know it's time. Like, hey, I have to do this.
Yeah, no one ever messed with me, though. Everyone's always super friendly to my face.
Who's going to mess with a world champion UFC fighter? Come on. You'd be retarded to mess with me too, but it's just that the probability of getting tossed by a federal agent or, you know, TSA and not being able to fly. Plus at this point in our lives as men of value, marquee value, your time is very important.
Oh yeah.
So spending time doing that whole process.
I hate going to airports. That's why I say the private jet's the only thing I don't have that I want. But like I said, there are a lot of money to upkeep.
You're going
to
get it.
Yeah.
You're going to get it. And so when you have it, you're going to fly around and do what?
When I travel, I'm constantly traveling for work. So, and I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure out next. Do I want to go into politics? I hate politicians, but we need people that aren't for sale to run for politics.
Yeah.
And there's a lot. It's the problem is we need a lot of people. We can't be a couple.
Wait. Here's what I already said, bro. I got it. Every person we sit down with is a potential person that we could all come together in
and take over and take the country back. You know,
I mean, think about you, him, Myron,
exactly,
Sneeko, myself. Hi, Andrew. You know, like, why not get a bunch of people together that all think the same and say, hey, we're going to run together.
Yeah, I think over the last couple of years, we've done a good job by waking people up and sharing. And I think that's an extremely important step. I'm not saying that's not important, but to actually make change, we need to get into politics too, or get other people into politics that are going to push our agenda. And
I think
really been like a few of us that are pushing this new agenda versus a multi-billion-dollar machine. We've done quite a bit of damage, so it's pretty impressive. More and more people are coming to our side.
And when we finally do restore integrity in our election process, and we actually do have a representative government of the people, I think that people like us, when we restore the power of the government to the people, which is what my intention is to do, that's what we will do. That's what extreme accountability is all about, is by any means necessary, uprooting the occupation of our government. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of things that we've talked about here that can go along hand in hand with actually accomplishing that task. But once there is a representative, it is going to be, you won't have to do politics. Mm-hmm. You won't have to do politics. It will be a collective of people that actually understand that politics means leave me the fuck alone.
Facts. Exactly.
And, I really, what individual liberty and freedom and bodily autonomy actually means is the riddance of these bureaucracies and the riddance of Lockheed Martin and Raytheon and the military industrial complex. These people will be tried for war crimes and they'll be, upon conviction, put to death on an international stage.
Publicly.
On an international stage. We did it to Saddam Hussein. Muammar Gaddafi. Mm-hmm. They're trying to do it to Putin right now. Mm-hmm. They did it to Hitler. These are the most lied about men in human history. You could say what you want about them, but all of them did one thing. They all kicked the Jewish criminal Rothschild central banking cabal out of their country.
Yeah, it's crazy. I went like years with no TV or no news, not following it at all. And not long ago, I went down the Gaddafi thing, saw mm-hmm. what he was saying, seeing what yeah. these guys were saying. And you're like, wow, we're...
Wow.
America threw these guys out because they were directly calling out the pharmaceutical companies, Israel,
yeah.
like all the same stuff we're talking about now. These guys, they were men with courage and they stood up. I'm not saying they're all good. I'm sure they did some bad things, but they were courage. They stood up to the powers and they got taken out.
When Joe Rogan played the entire AI version of Adolf Hitler's speech mm-hmm. and he was like, whoa.
Yeah, right. Like, well, this is not what I expected.
This is not what I expected.
Yeah.
Well, there's a reason why they don't want the speeches, you know, and they don't want us to see them. They don't want them turned to English. There's a reason why they ban all this stuff.
And whether you agree with him or not, read Mein Kampf, by the way, if you haven't, and get the properly translated version, not the one that was translated by a Jew. read that. I mean, because I think that it's really important. I don't agree with everything that you say. Mm-hmm. You say?
Yeah, there's no one I agree with 100%.
Nope.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm an
independent thinker.
Yep.
But I love listening to you,
mm-hmm.
and I love listening to you.
Facts.
Why wouldn't we want to gain all of the information and knowledge that we could possibly get our hands on and absorb it?
Yes.
Because weirdly, I remember a lot of things. Like, I remember my credit card numbers. I remember my phone number from when I was 6 years old.
He's kind of got the Alex Jones memory syndrome where he can just recall things. That's yeah. another reason that
and then like I'm an AI version of myself. I download all of this shit and then
save
just,
it whenever you need mm-hmm. it.
And then, yeah, I mean, that's why a lot of times I repeat myself because I think that it's important to say the right things over and over again. This is mm-hmm. what made Coca-Cola so great.
Yes.
This is why MyPillow, Mike Lindell, is so great. This is what advertising is all about. There's nobody that doesn't understand that you can save big money at Menards. There's, you know, I mean, like, you hear this stuff over and over again.
Yeah, you got to repeat your message over and over.
That's right, because then it becomes normal for people. This is the way that we combat a mainstream media, a yes. propagandist, corporate, a murderous press that has repeatedly over and over again said things like safe and effective.
Hashtag Jimmy Kimmel Challenge.
Over and over again.
Yes.
And I bingo. Think that basically we, meaning Jake Shields, Stu Peters, Joel Bauman, Sneeko, Myron Gaines, Alex Jones, all of the greats need to understand that we're in the business of propagandizing,
mm-hmm.
but that we have to propagandize the truth.
Exactly. I agree more. They're so good at messaging, but it's lies. They take these messages, they bottle it down so other people can repeat it.
Yep.
So we're against a big media machine. We need to do the same, but with truth. We need to figure out how to get our message out, how to get it to other people.
And you have to also educate. Mm-hmm. And you have educate to also people. Educate people on the mind. That's my whole shit, bro. Is like when you understand how the mind works, and that's why I'm so big on personal development and trying to teach people hypnotic principles, because a lot of people are under the hypnotic spell. They have no idea what auto-suggestion is. Emile Coué, self-mastery through conscious auto-suggestion. Everybody go read that book. That's from the early 1900s. And Emile Coué showed how in the early 1900s, we could literally program ourselves to believe things. And his whole thing was in every day and every way, I'm getting better and better.
Yes. What did I say to you?
In every day, in every way.
I'm getting better and better.
Better and better.
Every day, in every way, I'm getting stronger and stronger.
Bingo.
Yeah, most people don't think for themselves, we realize. So we have to like program them with the truth in our message.
The strangest secret.
That's why I started speaking up. Never told me not to. I realized that most people can't think for themselves. They follow the thought leaders.
Earl Nightingale. That was one of the first successful recordings in personal development. Earl Nightingale, The Strangest Secret. That's one of the earliest ones. And he says, people don't think. What's the difference between someone who's a success and who's not a success? You want to know what it is?
You
think and you know why you do what you do. That's why I always ask him before he's about to do anything that it might be where he flies off the handles. Alex is smiling over there because he knows he's seen me do this to Stu before.
Like, think about it a second.
Bro, why are we doing this? What is the intention? If he can answer it, I'll never question it. I'll never question it. And that's how I talk to myself. Joel, why am I doing this? Okay, tell the world I have herpes. Okay, that's easy.
Excuse me?
Tell the world I have herpes. It's bullshit. I know it's bullshit, right? Okay. Well, cold sore. If you have cold sores, and we're wrestlers, Matt, herpes is all fucking whatever. Okay, they'll think it's genital. And when they think it's genital, after a couple months, I'll come here and I'll say, actually, I fight to save kids, assholes. And then it will break the internet. And still, they won't touch me.
I can't believe that we're already out of time.
Crazy.
Yeah, it went so quick. Yeah, no. The conversation is good. It just flies.
Yeah. So here's the deal. This is your camera right here. You've got the platform. You've got as much time as you want. But I would like you to take us out of here. I think that your message is fantastic. And I want you to say it completely, uncancelably, unfiltered.
Well, what my message is, it's always changing. I just try to always speak what I think is true. So that's what's hard to say what my message is. I'm just trying to, it's always changing too.
What's on your heart to say to them right now?
We just need to fix this country. And I said, extreme accountability, what you've been saying. We got to start going after people that are destroying our country, that tried to force us to take a vaccine. They closed down the country. They're making us fight foreign wars we don't want to. They're letting a foreign nation, Israel, control us through AIPAC and blackmail and ADL. It's time to fight back and take our country back.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Hey, appreciate you being here, man.
Yeah, great hanging out with you guys.
Yeah.
We are here.
Don't fucking leave me.
Oh, I'm sorry. we are here. But so here's the part of building all this is, you know, like you said, if you need something, I'm there for you. But just so you know, I got you.
Yeah,
like thank you. 110. Anything I can do for you.
Friends help each other. That's how you grow as a team. Same. Especially, you know, a lot of us are.
I'm going to help you get a private jet.
Lobby and all this. We need to. Thank you. We need to help each other and help each other grow, both as friends and as like a team to make the country better.
Yeah. So aspects. While we're here in Vegas, reach out to all the people that you know.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys got to sit down with Stu and Joel, right?
Yeah, I talked to a couple people. Let me. I'll check my phone after this and see if.
Let's do it. We have to spread the message. Them on our platform, us on theirs. We have to work collectively as an army that is rising up against this murderous, illegitimate, pedophilic regime, and we have to do it to save our kids. Uncancelable, we'll be back with the Street Edition and every Wednesday at 10 p.m. on the Stu Peters Network.